Well, welcome to Dr. Oh, that's a screech from the baby there, my little bird. You have a screech? Anyway, welcome to Dr. Fred Bell's Health Science and Energy Show. January 9th already, in New Year. Sun's getting out there about, well, we're a month past solstice almost, so we're getting those longer days again. So anyhow, we're going to continue on. We did four radio shows yesterday. Can you believe that? On different networks across the country. In the world. So we're going to continue on with last week's stuff.
And what happens is when you breathe air in over a period of time, the oxygen comes into the lungs and goes in through the lungs, into the walls of the lungs, down into the arteries inside the lungs, through the heart, and back out the aorta valve on its way to the head. Well, if you look at the arterial size, the size of the veins going from the nasal part of the body, into the heart and through the lungs and up to the base of the brain, the arterial size, the artery size, is very large. So we'll be right back. We're going to take a break. We'll talk about this some more.
Why do various extraterrestrial groups visit Earth? Who are they, and what information do they have for us? Dr. Fred Bell, Air Force veteran and collaborator on NASA's Saturn and Apollo moon projects, answers these questions and more in his cassette series, The Promise. This 18-hour audio series explains high-tech pyramid systems, the Pleiadian super receptor, how you can become your own energy doctor, super nutrition, and a lot more. Call 1-800-729-2603 today, and you'll also receive a copy of the book, The Promise, as well as a one-hour video showing joint alien and U.S. military technology at work absolutely free. That number again is 1-800-729-2603 for The Promise audio series. Only $139. That's a $50 savings and includes the 18-hour cassette series, the book by Dr. Fred Bell and Brad Steiger, and the one-hour video. So call now, 1-800-729-2603 for Dr. Fred Bell's The Promise. Do your employees need training, motivating, perhaps a little attitude adjustment? Call the Economics Press at 1-800-526-2554. No matter if you're a Fortune 500 company or run a business from home, you'll find the training you need at the right price. The Economics Press trains and motivates every type of employee. From executives to factory workers, they can help your people create a positive telephone image and take the best care of customers. They can help your salespeople sell more and your managers manage better. Employees love Economics Press programs because they're brief, lively, and fun. No boring textbooks, no late-night studying, just plain English newsletters, books, audio and video tapes, and user-friendly diskette and CD-ROM programs. And you'll love the results. Improved morale, higher productivity, lower absenteeism, all at surprisingly little cost. Make the Economics Press your business training resource. For a free catalog or samples of the Economics Press publications, call toll-free 1-800-526-2554. That's 1-800-526-2554. Capital Concepts will prepare a comprehensive financial plan to serve as a roadmap to help you achieve your personal financial goals. Based on information you provide in a confidential questionnaire, Capital Concepts will review and analyze your current financial situation and offer suggestions for improving your financial position. You'll receive a 50-page, easy-to-understand report covering 8 essential areas in financial planning. From college funding to insurance analysis to retirement planning and everything in between, your personal financial analysis will help you get started on the road to a secure financial future for you and your family. To find out more about how you can obtain your comprehensive personal financial analysis for the affordable fee of $250, call Capital Concepts at 1-800-815-8500. Capital Concepts is a fee-only financial planning company and does not sell or endorse any insurance or investment products. Call 1-800-815-8500.
We're talking to you, Wakefield. Give us a call at 990 WALE.
Welcome back to Dr. Bell's Health Science and Energy Show. So anyway, we're talking about the vitamin C relationship with the pyramids. And what happens is when the arterial size comes from the lungs into the heart, to the aorta valve, and up into the base of the brain, we've got quarter-inch arteries pumping oxygen and blood up into the brain. And this is the way the body works. Every breath you take, every bit of air that comes in your body goes in this manner. But what happens is when the blood flow supply reaches the base of the brain, the arterial size drops from about a quarter of an inch artery to several arteries a millionth of an inch. So in other words, the arteries in the brain all start acting like strainers, straining the blood. And that's the way the blood flows through the body, is from the lungs into the brain before it gets down to the liver. Okay. So what happens is, after that, your body starts to build up a tremendous amount of pollution from all the dirty stuff. There's about 500 chemicals in the air that you're breathing all the time. So what happens is it starts to build up and deposit all the way through the brain, creating a tremendous problem with the electrical signals in the brain and finally body function. We think we have a caller on the line here.
Dr. Bell?
Yes.
Last summer, when that string of pearls hit Jupiter...
What?
Remember what they called the string of pearls that slammed into Jupiter?
Not really.
No, you don't recall that incident?
No.
Some large, they said they were asteroids.
Oh, yeah, I remember that, yeah.
Did you get any information on that as to what the effects of that were?
No, not really. I haven't really gotten into that too much.
Well, let me ask you a nutrition question, then. That's what you're concentrating on today. Beets. What's the best way to prepare your beets for better consumption of the phenylalanine and vitamins and minerals?
Well, any vegetables should be steamed. That's the best way to do them. Just enough to get them warm or tenderized, you know. Anything else destroys the enzymes.
What about raw?
Raw's even better. Yeah, much better. That's the ultimate way to eat anything. Raw vegetables have more and more energy that way.
Did you happen to see sightings last Friday night?
No, I didn't get a chance to see it. What was it about?
I swear they showed a legitimate photograph from the 40s on the Roswell incident that it went by in just a second or two that was showing the autopsies of the small beings.
Oh, the grays?
Yes.
Yeah.
And, you know, they put a lot of other information in it, but the couple photographs looked awfully legitimate.
Yeah, well, it's possible, you know. I mean, with this outside militia government, these militias putting pressure on our government now, the extraterrestrial, the ET, is the missing link in this whole thing that's going on right now. Because all these, they're trying to paint all these Michigan militias and all these different militias of being paranoid about some secret government activity. But that secret government activity is, in fact, lying with extraterrestrials. And that's what's going to be real interesting now coming up.
Pope's secret diary, the previous Pope, secret diary was discovered in the Vatican, and something about a massive extraterrestrial landing.
The Andromedans have said that the world would know about the extraterrestrials by the year of 1995, and they said this would come through a series of, first of all, floods, fires, earthquakes, and then the FEMA group would become very popular with the American public, which it is now, which is really here to institute martial law, which they're setting the legislation in place to do that right now, as you can see just by watching your local news. So everything that they said is going to happen has come true right almost on the time schedule.
What's your best prediction on the changeover in the money? I'm hearing that they're going to be possibly changing 10 old dollars for one new dollar. You got any timetable on when you think that will occur?
No, I know they printed back about 4 years ago in 1990. They printed the what they call rainbow money. That's the currency for the entire world. And this is controlled, of course, by the Federal Reserve Board and the Trilads and the different countries that they're situated in. But it hasn't been instituted yet because there's been, first of all, they couldn't get the European bloc together with the euro thing because Italy objected and France were objecting, so they couldn't get Europe to unite into one form of currency. And now with the yen, you know, pounding the dollar into the ground, that's going to create another problem for them because obviously the Japanese aren't going to go for it either, you know. These are the kinds of problems that they're having from making a one-world currency. And they want to get rid of all large bills so they can control exactly how much money you have. This is all part of the part of the devaluation of our constitutional rights.
How many more weeks do you have on this station?
I don't know. I think probably 5 or 6 more.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
We'll be with you.
Okay.
Thank you.
So anyway, getting back to the energy of the pyramid now, when the blood starts straining off in the brain over a period of time, first thing that happens is the cerebellum is affected, and the cerebellum is the base of the brain, so your physical balance goes away, starts to deteriorate, usually after in your mid-20s. Remember how we used to play hopscotch, jump around on 1 foot, forwards and backwards, and that was what the whole game was about. A lot of people can't do that anymore because of that reason, the pollution of the brain. Then we get into the mid part of the brain, the center part of the brain, which that sends electrical currents and intelligence down through the spinal cord into the endocrine system. When this starts to become blocked, as it is in most people, what happens is the endocrine system starts to malfunction. We become allergic, anemic, susceptible, sometimes dizziness, claustrophobic. A number of physical things start to come and go in the body because of this failure in the body. And then finally we get up into the forebrain, and that, of course, is the old adage of senility, where the pineal gland starts to shut down. And the pineal gland, if you remember, I was talking a few shows back about how it worked with serotonin and some of the other hormones, and it also contains the death clock. It also has to do with jet lag when you move from one point to another, because the pineal gland regulates the activity of the hydrogen in the atom in the body. And remember, we're only made up of oxygen, hydrogen, nitrogen, and carbon. That's the five main ingredients of the body, four ingredients of the body. The fifth one being sulfur, which is very important, which is another one that vitamin C works a lot with. So when these pyramids were worn on the head, what we found is in some people, they would be so toxic, like former smokers, and that included me, because when I worked at NASA, I used to smoke a lot. And I hadn't smoked in 10 years before I put the pyramid on my head, this one of the silver ones with the stimulating properties. And I noticed that when I put the silver pyramid on my head, I didn't know exactly at the time what was going on, but I knew that in the urine, when I would urinate, that it would smell like nicotine or like an old cigarette ashtray. So I suddenly realized that my body, even though I hadn't smoked in 10 years, was passing out all this nicotine and all this stuff that comes into your brain. Because remember, if you smoke a cigarette or even breathe, if you even get secondary smoke, first thing that happens, it goes right into your lungs, right through your heart, right up to the base of the brain, and filters off, because the brain is a filter. Whether smokers or non-smokers or lighter, affected this way. So I had been affected this way. So it was kind of a strange feeling that I started to feel better, but at the same time, after 3 or 4 hours of wearing this pyramid, I would get a headache. And the reason I was getting a headache, as we found later, is that all these poisons were being dislodged from the membranes in the brain and the different arteries and little tiny blood veins and capillaries and all the places they're stored in there. And they were coming down because the path of the blow from the path of the blood from the brain is down into the liver. So first you come into the nose and then the lungs and then through the heart into the brain and into the liver. So the brain, acting like a filter, was now being relieved of this action, and the liver now had to take care of it. So I took large amounts of, guess what, vitamin C again, huge amounts of water, and after a period of about a year, I could wear this pyramid for 8 or 10 or 12 or 15 hours on my head. Then I noticed that my attention span started to increase because I was, it's amazing how your attention span goes away gradually over a period of time. You're not even aware of it because ignorance has got a uniqueness into itself. It doesn't recognize itself. And so as a result, people's attention spans just kind of creep away like everything else does with aging. Well, this reverses. And so my memory came many times better than it was even when I was younger. And I was really, really liking this. And of course, a lot of people started using these pyramids and getting the same results. I guess a couple of profound things then began to happen. This is still back when this research was going on. We started in 1974. Now we were up to about 1978. And so we were about 4 years into it, but working with the general public would be about only 3 years. 76 or so. So we were only 2.5, 3 years into the research with the public. And we had different groups that were doing experimenting with wearing the pyramids and that. So we'll be right back with some of these results in a minute after break.
Pleiadian technology has now been brought to Earth. Introducing the Super Receptor from Pyridyne. This truly impressive space technology is a modern anti-stress medallion that transforms disharmonious energies into a positive frequency. Available in 11 gemstone colors, each corresponding to a specific body function, the Super Receptors can protect the body from pollution, toxins, and stress, and has a balancing and invigorating effect on the wearer. For more information, call 1-800-729-2603. That's 1-800-729-2603.
We're talking to you, Attleboro. Give us a call at 990 WALE.
Welcome back to Dr. Bell's Health Science Energy Show. So, wearing the pyramid over time, we started going around with the health shows of the National Health Federation and introducing them to the whole U.S. at that time during the 70s. We got up to Portland, Oregon, and we were doing a show in the Hilton Hotel up there. And I noticed that, you got to realize we were wearing suits and now like normal doctors do at these conventions, but wearing pyramids on our head. We were a little strange looking, I guess you might say. But we were enjoying them and they were doing things and we were seeing results, so we didn't really care. And the right people came along and they got interested and had fun. Well, this one little lady, little housewife was there and she was hovering over our exhibit there in the exhibit hall in the hotel, the Portland Hilton. And finally, she came over there, and I told her, I says, you know, I think you need some pyramids. You look like, I was saying to myself, well, this poor girl might be an American housewife, might have had a Valium problem. She didn't look like it, but looked pretty healthy, but maybe she needed a pyramid. So I told her she needed to get the pyramids. And in those days, you could get the Pyridome, the Fire Dome, and the Ray Dome, which would be the gold, copper, and silver one, the whole thing for $39.95, because in those days gold was only $125 an ounce. So she purchased these pyramids and went home, and she put them on her head, and she was one of the first people that really made a major transformation into a different consciousness, because the pyramids on her head started opening up her head centers at a very fast speed. Her psychic powers all of a sudden developed overnight, and within 3 months of wearing these pyramids, she was channeling an entity by the name of Ramtha. And she kept wearing the pyramids and started writing books, and she became world famous. And her name is Jay-Z Knight. Some of you out there might have heard of her. She was just one of many that had profound experiences when you wear the pyramids. Another really interesting thing happened right about the same time as we began to introduce not only nutrition a little bit into schools, because we were trying to get kids off of Ritalin at that time. Ritalin is kind of like a upper to people, to grown-ups, but it's a downer to kids, and it's really dangerous if you put kids on downers. I mean, it's just, in barbiturates are not the things for children. And we found that in school systems that what was really happening with kids that were over-hyperactive was that they were eating way too much sugar, and they were producing huge amounts of energy from the sugar, and then of course they were having, you also realize that sugar turns into alcohol when it breaks down in the breaking down process. It's called ethanol. And so the average person drinking several soda pops a day actually produces about 3.5 quarts of ethanol in their brain, which most people are not aware of. So these kids were getting overexposed to sugar. So we were not really able to take them off the Ritalin. I mean, everybody wanted to, but teachers all knew better, but the parents, it's a very delicate situation in the school systems anywhere when you start dealing with what the parents feed the kids and what the schools feed the kids. You're walking on thin ice. So we decided to take different groups, and we started working with the Wilton School System in Los Angeles and the Orchid Union School System up in San Luis Obispo, California. And we began to put pyramids either on their heads to slow them down, meaning the Valium, our Valium pyramid, which was the gold-plated one, or we put them in our larger pyramids, which we put over the bed for sleeping in, which is another important thing. We've got another caller on the line here. Is there a Caller there?
Hello.
Hello.
Yes. You have a very, very interesting subject about the brains of the different glands. My question is, excuse me, I hear so much about the medulla oblongata,
right,
and also the carotid arteries and veins. Can you explain what's the connection of this?
What was the second thing you wanted to know?
The medulla.
Yeah, I know that. I got that part. What was the second part?
Yeah, the oblongata. The...
Yeah, well, I think what you're talking about.
And the other one is the carotid arteries.
Right. This is part of a conscious center called the hypothalamus. And what happens is, this is your emotional brain-mind center. And it centers from your, inside your head, there's a feedback system that goes from inside your head all the way down to your stomach in your solar plexus area, which is the diaphragm. And the diaphragm has gray matter on it, just like the brain does. And both areas are affected by hormones. Both areas generate electricity through electrolytes. That's why it's very important to have the proper herbs in the body to make the whole process work. And so this creates an energy field that goes back and forth from your brain down to your stomach. And these waves of energy send out like a radar set to other people who are generating similar waves of energy. And if you're developed in this area, what happens is, you receive other people's waves of energy back, and these waves of energy coming back can be interpreted. And when this is interpreted, this becomes known as the parasympathetic nervous system. And when it's working properly, it develops your intuition levels, your intuitive levels. This is one area that the pyramid works very well in, by the way, when you wear it.
In other words, do we have a certain amount of electricity in our system?
You have a lot of, well, the pyramid amplifies the electricity hundreds of times in the body, okay? Mm-hmm. Everything in the environment destroys the electricity in the body. Automobile exhaust, carbon monoxide, stress from noise, pollution of all forms destroys the body's electrical field. That's why people are so crazy today.
Gee, that sounds very interesting. Do you have any literature that I could go into that?
Oh, yeah, I have the tape series, which we've been advertising. And you can call 1-800-729-2603 or 1-714-499-2603. And then it can help you there because there's people that will answer the phone and lead you into the proper literature and information if you don't want to get the tape series. This is well covered in our tape series, all this stuff. It's about an 18-hour tape series.
You see, I got that 1-800.
Mm-hmm.
The first number is 1-800. The second one is what?
729. Yeah, 2603.
79.
Yeah, 2603.
And the other phone number?
It's 714.
What is it?
714.
714. 6.
Yeah, 714. 499-2603.
199.
No, 714.
Yeah.
499-2603.
299?
Yeah, 499-2603.
299, and the last number?
3.
3.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay, you're welcome. So anyway, we got back into Orchid Union School, and we began to work with a school teacher by the name of Sky Lewis. Well, one morning it was actually late at night for me, and he was a pretty conservative school teacher, but I got a call from him at 2 o'clock in the morning, and I said, well, what are you calling me at 2 o'clock in the morning for? And he says, well, we've had a miracle happen with one of our students over here by the wearing of the pyramid. And I says, well, what do you mean? He says, well, we have a nine-year-old here. His name is Stan Alms, who had grand mal seizures since the day one in school, and he's been treated very poorly with minerals, like lithium, what they treat them with. But it wasn't getting rid of his seizures, and he was not able to read or write properly, and his concentration was off because of these seizures. He seemed like a bright kid, but he started wearing your pyramids for about a month, And in the last 2 weeks, he hasn't had a single seizure. And this is, we think, is quite miraculous. And the child even sent me a notarized statement saying that he liked wearing the pyramids and he was able to read and write in the right direction now rather than reading and writing backwards like he did before being dyslexic. So this is what one of the very beginning, very interesting things that happened along in the 70s. This child was getting remission from grand mal seizures. And what we discovered was that the pyramid, because of its aura field that you could photograph with Corollian photography, re-stimulates the electricity in the body, which then his mineral therapies would start to work, because his mineral therapies weren't working because he didn't have enough electricity to switch on the energy to get that into the system, the biochemical system. So this is what was, you know, this is one of the things that was very necessary for sustaining the electrical fields in the body. We're going to take a break and we'll be right back.
Are you lacking energy halfway through the day? Do you want to lose weight? Try Super Nutrition. These Super Nutrition vitamins and minerals include trace minerals from the clay of an ancient and natural seabed, chromium picolinate, spirulina, aloe vera, and a powerful herbal complex in an all-natural organic formula. To order Super Nutrition, Pyridine's full-spectrum vitamin and trace mineral system, call 1-800-729-2603. That's 1-800-729-2603 for Super Nutrition. 1-800-729-2603.
We're talking to you, Barrington. Give us a call at 990-WALE.
Welcome back to the final phase of Dr. Bell's Health Science Interview Show for today. So anyway, we began to realize that the pyramid had a tremendous effect when worn on the head. Now, one thing that I always like to clarify when we start getting into these this consciousness is that when you a receptor or a pyramid to straighten out a problem, your body, the pyramid is not healing the body. That's not possible. What happens is the body has to heal itself. All these are a technical aid to deal with technical problems that the environment has brought on or we've brought on ourselves due to bad nutritional or living habits. So the pyramid itself is just a tool to be used and understood. Since then, they've gone all over the world. Of course, in Japan, they've even copied some of my designs over there, even though they're copyrighted and patented. They still have done that. But they go all over the world every day, and they're helping a tremendous amount of people. And so when we began to use the radome on people's heads, we began to notice another thing that would happen, and that is the attention span. When the attention span increases on a person, we find that they are also using up different hormones in the body that create the attention span. One of them would be one called vasopressin. And so what happens is when you use a lot of vasopressin, when you're stimulated by a pyramid to use that, you become very creative and very euphoric. At the same time, you're using up vasopressin, so you need to replenish vasopressin. So if you look back at our chain of minerals and enzymes and vitamins and proteins, and you look into that chain, to see exactly where vasopressin comes out of. In other words, we got to extract something out of the chain to create vasopressin. We find that we need a couple of enzymes. We need some trace minerals. We need the trace mineral tree, which is at the top there. We need, coming down the ladder, we get into the enzymes. We need some B3 and B6. We've talked about B3 quite a bit, and a little bit about B6. Then we come down, we need a couple of amino acids. We need lysine and arginine. And then we need to mix these all together and cross the blood-brain barrier on an empty stomach and direct the energy so that it goes directly to the pituitary gland, which is the one responsible for our attention span and creativity. We need to direct this nutritional combination into that area. And so this is what we do by developing a formula that has lysine and arginine in large amounts in it, along with B6 and B3 in large amounts. And then, of course, by wearing the pyramid, when you take this formula on an empty stomach, it directs the energy directly into the area where it's needed. So these are some of the things that we began to understand, and that's why we got into formulation in the first place, was because it was necessary to keep the body running properly when the pyramid was worn. And then, of course, from the pyramids, we developed a receptor, which will be another type of conversation at another day. So vitamin C is another one of the greater formulas. And the next thing we began to do is we found that when people wore the pyramid for great lengths of time driving on the freeway, it kept them awake and it kept them more alert and more creative, and they didn't get that letdown, which is carbon monoxide letdown that you get when you arrive somewhere. So I developed a vitamin C formula that was just for freeway driving. Even though we're not currently producing it, we find that if a person were to drive on the freeway a lot, they would take our vitamin C. We have what's called an ester C formula, where it's just straight vitamin C, and it's non-toxic because it's ester C. So we developed this formula instead, and what we do is recommend people use that, and use it if you're driving down the freeway for several hours. You might take a little bit of vitamin C every half an hour, like a couple of grams of it, and most people carry their little water bottles around. So use your little water bottle and your vitamin C, and just over a period of any kind of a drive anywhere on the road, just take a couple of grams. About a gram of vitamin C per hour will work for most people, especially when you're wearing the pyramid, and you'll be surprised how much alert, energized, and different you feel when you go from point A to point B and back, versus not trying this program out for yourself. So these kinds of programs we began to develop. Another thing that we do along with our, in our formulas, in our main formula with vitamin C, is we work with what's called the bioflavonoid complex. And this is made up of a citron and hesperidin rutin and different types of herbs. And what happens is when you put the bioflavonoid complex with vitamin C, like in these larger formulas, what happens is the vitamin C becomes much more effective and becomes part of our overall philosophy of formulation, which is called synergistic formulation. If you remember in earlier shows, we talked about the benefit of vitamin E, which gets plenty of helps get oxygen to the brain, oxygen to the muscles, and octocosanol. And when we combine these with lecithin, the effectivity of the two different nutrients increases tenfold, and then when we combine it with selenium, it increases it 50 times more. So this is another form, another complex that we use within a complex, which is also known as synergistic formulation, to increase the overall efficiency of the different nutrients that are put into the body. It takes time to understand how these things work and what they're necessary for. And next week we're going to talk about we're going to start getting into DNA, which is going to be a lot of fun, because we're hearing a lot of that on television every day because of the OJ trial. We're going to start learning about DNA and what the effects on the body there is. And then further on, we're going to start getting into sleep, because nutrition and sleep have a lot to do with one another. People don't realize it, but they use 80% of their nutrition up when they're sleeping. And when you don't have the proper nutrition or take the proper nutrients at the end of the day before you go to bed, what happens is you don't get proper sleep and proper rejuvenation. So we'll be talking more on that, and so we look forward to hearing talking at you next week. Thank you.
Health, Science, and Energy with Dr. Fred Bell is heard exclusively on WALE Wednesday from 11 a.m. until noon. For more information from Pyridine Incorporated, call 1-800-729-2603. That's 1-800-729-2603.
The People's Voice.
Well, that ends that one. So we'll go on to the next exciting moment here. And we have a little bit more of the wonderful little UFO conference we had up in Seattle. This is a part we haven't played before, so we'll go right on into that. Sean Morton and myself and a lot of others. So we'll just get everything going really good here.
You never know. This is actually the second UFO panel and Whole Life Expo that we've had in Santa Fe, New Mexico. And as many of you may or may not know, the Whole Life Expos are really one of the strongest voices of consciousness across this country. The originator of the Whole Life Expo lives in Los Angeles, and every year he does a show for 20 to 30,000 people who come to Los Angeles twice a year in the spring and the fall. He does one in New York City. He goes to San Diego, Seattle. This year, for the first time, he's going up to Oregon. He began, he also goes to Las Vegas, Nevada, and I understand he was inspirational in starting the one in San Francisco. So Paul Andrews is quite the pioneer in consciousness and has been responsible for really bringing the consciousness movement to thousands and thousands of people across the nation. When he decided to do one in the Santa Fe area 3 years ago, it was a big courageous step. And actually, we had a really pretty good attendance. I understand this is a real conscious area, and you know, you can sort of get here and feel the vibe. How many of you live in Santa Fe? How many of you live in Albuquerque? How many of you live in another place close to here? Taos, any Taos people? I'm sure you all hear about the hum of the underground in Taos. You'll probably have some great stories for us later on. Well, you're living in a very, very hot area and a pretty conscious area for the country at large. And last year we had the expo in Albuquerque. We're back in Santa Fe this year. And despite the fact that we're in tents and we're in, you know, schoolroom, classrooms, it's really the gathering of the people that is the most significant and important thing. And so for those of you who go home tonight or you have friends who don't know about the expo, please spread the word. We have one more incredible day of workshops. The people that have come to be on this panel, I'm going to tell you a little bit about each one of them when I introduce them. And then what we're going to do is spend about 6 or 7 minutes where they're going to stand up and they're going to talk about themselves. And they're also going to talk about UFOs and their involvement with UFOs and how they see UFOs impacting the end of the 20th century and the beginning of the next millennium. Because make no mistake, we are definitely living in very exciting times. And if they're even more exciting than falling through chairs when you sit down. Right? Anytime now, Linda could be lifted by a blue beam. You never know with this crowd. I'd like to kind of find out a few things about you, though, before we start. How many of you have actually seen a UFO? Raise your hand. Be proud. How many of you know people who have seen UFOs? Wow.
Wow. How many of you reported what you saw of those who had seen one?
Good question. There's not a lot of places to report them to. How many of you feel that you may have actually been on board a ship? How many of you feel like the experience might have been positive? How many of you feel like the experience might have been negative? Goodness gracious, that's amazing. How many of you have seen UFOs in your dream states? How many of you feel like that you have experienced what has been called lucid dreaming? How many of you feel like you've experienced earth changes in your dream states? How about, let's go through them, earthquakes. Tidal waves. Wow, they were in Los Angeles, Hawaii, and Los Angeles. What else have we got in the Earth Changes department? Volcanoes. Goodness. Pardon me. Floods. Ooh, hurricanes. That's a really good one. Any hurricanes in here? Well, there's some very good reasons for that, and a lot of them have to do with the fact that the extraterrestrial phenomena that seems to be impacting our planet at this time is not only, you know, occurring on a physical third-dimensional level, but it also appears to be happening on a little more multidimensional level. And a lot of us in our dream states and in our altered states of consciousness as we move from our normal beta brains into alpha and theta, which happens naturally when we sleep, or when we meditate at deep levels, it really makes us much more receptive to receiving some of those kinds of information. And you may pick them up simply because, you know, you're very good at out-of-body travel, or it may truly be that you're being contacted at those higher dimensional levels and information passed along to you. So, you know, once we get to the body of this and it comes my turn to speak, I'll speak a little more about that. But what I would like to do to begin is to introduce a very extraordinary group of people. All the people on this panel have been very deeply involved and instrumental in the UFO consciousness movement, and we're very honored to have them with us today. To my right, we have Virgil Armstrong. Virgil was an officer in the military, has been a major spokesman coming out of the military background for talking about what the government has not wanted people to know. And he's had the courage of his convictions enough to really get in front of the media and in a very grounded way share a lot of that over the last 10 or 15 years. We have Drew. And Drew has really just come public in the last few months. I haven't had a chance to sit in and listen to his workshop, but he was involved with the Philadelphia experiment. And for any of you who are, how many of you have heard of the Philadelphia experiment? How many of you don't have a clue what that is? Well, it's definitely a wild and crazy story, and it's so far out, it's like stranger than fiction. And so Drew's going to be someone you're probably going to want to get a chance to listen to sometime during the course of the weekend. To my left, we have the amazing Stanton Friedman, who has really, and I, you know, now he'd probably never describe himself as amazing. Stanton is a physicist, and you couldn't ask for a more third-dimensional, level-headed, practical guy, where I tend to be a little more multidimensional in my perception. Stanton really has his feet very firmly anchored on the ground. Stan has been important in the UFO movement in a lot of ways. He, along with Virgil, whenever you saw UFO shows in the last 10 years, it would be Stanton standing there with these documents that have been blacked in from the Freedom of Information Act saying, look at this document, can you believe this? How many of you have seen Stanton on television? Yeah, well, we'll give him a big hand when he gets up here, really. And on the end here, we have Linda Howe. And this is the first time I've had Linda on one of my panels. They've had me moderating these panels for about a year, year and a half. Linda is extraordinary in more ways than one. I mean, she is, like, I'm a commercial photographer. She's a documentary filmmaker. And she, again, level-headed, feet on the ground, very conscious, very research, detail-oriented. And she sort of very innocently began to investigate from a documentary point of view the cattle mutilation phenomena, and it was sort of like opening Pandora's box. And here 10-15 years later, she's not only been responsible for being the inspiration for the television show Sightings, which, you know, the powers that be in Hollywood sort of went on without her, but she is the one who presented the information to Henry Winkler and Alma Daniels, and that began that whole television series. And she's also self-published two extraordinary books, An Alien Harvest, which came out about 10 years ago.
89.
Yeah, and it's hardback, and I mean, she had the chutzpah to do it herself, and she did a beautiful job with it. And she's just recently, I think she's been moving more and more into the multidimensional aspects, and she just came out with a new book about a year and a half ago,
Glimpses of Other Realities.
So you're going to really enjoy hearing from her. And last but not least, the wild and crazy Fred Bell. How many of you have met Fred? He's great. Fred is an Andromedan contactee. He's had his own experiences on board UFOs, just as I have. He also comes from a military background. He works a lot with crystals, and he also is an incredible composer. I heard some of his music, and I was like, you do this? He was like, oh, it all comes in from, you know, the Andromedans. So we have quite a gathering today, and what I'd like to do is perhaps begin with Linda and work our way down, and when it comes back, we'll come back to me. So would you like to begin?
Okay. Picking up where Tricia left off, I think a point I can make about why is it that I went the very difficult route of publishing two books rather than the normal New Yorker other route. And it is part of the problem that all of us face today in a kind of revolutionary time of simply trying to get to the fact that we're not alone in the universe. And that it is that William Morrow, for example, and some others were very interested in my experiences with the government, were intrigued by the phenomena, but told me point blank that there, under no circumstances, would they ever put any color photographs of these unusual animal deaths in a book for, quote-unquote, a mass market. And there were many other arguments with people in New York about what kind of content could go into a book that would be published. And I still can remember the day when I said to myself, what am I doing? Why am I arguing and going through agony with people who have never even been in a pasture and have never seen one of these animals, which, quite to the contrary, are not bloody, and it is very pristine, and that was the point of wanting to show a phenomena that is so unusual that in a color photograph that they are more pristine than they are any other word. And the fact that we are in a world right now that is driven by a very particular bias, and that the biases affect us at the media level, the political level, the social level, and several others. And the reason why a few of us, I think, have persisted, everyone has maybe their own particular reason, but I know in my case that as a journalist, since I graduated from Stanford in 68, and feeling that I should be, at least in constitutional terms, I should be able to investigate any subject, especially one as important and having the long-range implications of contact with another intelligence, that we should be able to investigate and report without repression or bias of material. And it is a kind of, I suppose, deep-seated anger that has propelled me forward, because the deeper that I investigated the animal mutilation phenomenon, the more that I found people in law enforcement and even veterinarians who said that they would never speak on the record about their own experiences with huge orange glowing discs the size of football fields over pastures where these animals had been found, or beams of light coming down from something completely and totally silent in the pasture above, but a sheriff and a deputy knowing that the beam that was then lighting a pasture at least a half a mile in diameter with such intensity that they described the light as brighter than daylight, and that is an extraordinary light, or people who have had the sounds of helicopters come down over the roofs of their house, in which dogs have thrown themselves against walls, leaving the walls completely scratched. And yet when they ran outside, they saw absolutely nothing in the sky directly above the house, but heard this gigantic roaring sound, which they could only put in the category of a helicopter. Or the people in law enforcement, ranchers, deputies, fellow journalists who have seen what they describe as dark helicopters over pastures where these animals have been found, but there's no sound. And a totally silent helicopter at 300 or 400 feet above a house, it may be a technology that military have today, and that may be controversial, but when this phenomenon began in the early 1960s, that kind of technology did not exist, and portable field lasers did not exist. And yet there is a doctor in Colorado who knows from his own examinations at the University of Colorado Medical Center at the beginning of approximately 1967 to 68 period, that he was looking at excisions in which there was cautery, and that something had happened to remove tissue in such an unusual way that he, as a medical doctor, was stunned and puzzled about the method. That is a fast and overview of what provoked me as a journalist in 1979 to begin looking into what I thought might be an environmental contamination story, and led me into these kinds of eyewitness testimonies that I've described and much more. And now in 1995, that first investigation has led me into the human abduction syndrome, the crop circle mystery, all facets of government knowledge and cover-up, of which there are many. And today in the old gym at 3 o'clock, I am going to present some material that I have never shared before concerning what it seems to me to be a pattern about what people today in the alleged inner sanctums are saying is the reason for a policy of silence about this phenomena that may or may not be disinformation, but is part of a pattern of people who are beginning to leak more and more information, who seem to be frustrated with the system now as it exists concerning the phenomena that we're all dealing with. And so today I sit here before you as a documentary filmmaker and a television producer and writer who I have come up against all kinds of walls in terms of simply trying to investigate and report a story. And one of those was working in Hollywood with Paramount and Fox. It wasn't that they went ahead without me, it's I did not want to go ahead with them. And but at least television is beginning to try to report some of the stories that have been neglected for a long time. And my hope is that in the next year or two that we will begin to have more hard fact reporting, which I think if people around the world could be exposed to just some of the hard physical facts, like what Stanton will be talking about here shortly, that we could not continue much longer holding on to the idea that we are alone in the universe. So hopefully I'll see you at my lecture at 3, and tomorrow the workshop at 6. I will be going into even more detail, and I'm glad to be here with you in Santa Fe. Thanks.
Thank you, Linda.
6 minutes. I came to UFOs from a sort of weird direction. I was working as a then young nuclear physicist for General Electric on nuclear airplanes, 1958. And I was ordering books by mail, and I needed one more book so I wouldn't have to pay shipping charges. And there was one, The Report on Unidentified Flying Objects by Air Force Captain Edward Ruppelt, who had headed Project Blue Book in the early 50s. I was working on an Air Force-sponsored program. I figured he ought to know what he's talking about. It wasn't going to cost me anything. It was a hardcover book, shows you how times have changed, marked down from $2.95 to $1. So it was costing me nothing because the postage would have been that much. And if nothing else, it would be worth a laugh. And also I had some hopes that, gee, if these things are real and they're using nuclear power, it'll help our program. It didn't help our program, and I don't know whether they're using nuclear power. But from that one book to 15 more books to contacts with the Blue Book personnel to finding the largest Blue Book study ever done, Blue Book Special Report 14 at University of California, Berkeley Library, which hadn't been mentioned in any of the other reports, I worked on my courage, started in 58. In 1967, I gave my first lecture. And since then, it's been 600 more colleges, 100 professional groups, all 50 states, 9 provinces, 4 other countries. I think I've answered 25,000 questions over the years. I've done hundreds of radio and television shows. I think it's fair to say that I have a pretty good opportunity, as good as anybody, to put my finger on the pulse of the continent, at least, besides having spoken overseas. And my role is primarily to replace mythology on either side of the UFO scene. That's why I did a workshop this morning about fraud in ufology, because there are believers who are fraudulent as well as non-believers who are fraudulent. My role is to replace myths with facts. And I've published 70 papers. I've got a brand new CD-ROM, interactive CD-ROM out that's got video and audio and everything else, trying to replace the crazy notions of the nasty, noisy negativists, as I call them, with reality. It is not true that you can't get here from there. It is not true that most people don't believe in UFOs. It is not true that educated scientists don't believe in UFOs. There's a whole bunch of these phony baloney notions that are widely circulated. One of the problems I have when dealing with media people, I get calls quite often, I'm sure Linda does, from people who are talking about doing a documentary and who think that it'll be easy because there isn't any material anyway. And you have to work on them to say that your problem is just the reverse. There's far too much material. A lot of it's garbage, and trying to sort and sift isn't easy. You need a guide for the perplexed, which is the role we sometimes have to fill. And my goal in all of this is not only to replace the mythology and to make the study of UFOs respectable. After all, there have been 10 PhD theses done. There's room for 50. There are 5 large-scale scientific studies. There's room for 20. My goal, to summarize it at my ripe old age, I guess, I used to be one of the young squirts in the field, and now I'm probably, well, almost the oldest one up here, but my goal is to hope that my grandson's generation will behave in such a way that we create a planet that's suitable for intelligent life. I think we've done a lousy job so far. And that we will qualify for membership in the, or admission at least, to the cosmic kindergarten. Because one of the things that we tend to forget when we get involved in the minutia, I'm the original investigator of Roswell, and admittedly I spend a lot of time dealing with phony baloney stories about Roswell and the television movie that made Jesse Marcel into something he wasn't and so forth. But part of the idea is to let people know that the world of our grandchildren will be the space world. I don't mean they'll be spaced out, but just as the new world became the place for exploitation, exploration, development, growth for old Europe over the last few hundred years, we're going to be hooked into the local neighborhood. We will recover asteroids. We will use the resources. We will explore. Man needs to explore, to grow. And it's at our own peril that we forget that. It's nice to talk about saving money by cutting back on the space program, and I certainly have my complaints about NASA and its lack of leadership. But, like it or not, we will be hooked in to the local neighborhood. And that's one concept I try to get across in my lectures, that let's not talk about other galaxies. They're out there, lots of them. Let's not talk about going across our own galaxy. My college classmate, Carl Sagan, often talks about billions of stars and billions of galaxies. I'm a local guy. Within 54 light years of here, which is just down the street, 54 light years, there are 1,000 stars. 46 of them are similar to the sun. If you're looking from where our visitors may be coming, that's the place to look. I was on a television show the other day in England, and a guy comes at me, "Hey, look how long it would take to come from thousands of light years away." And I said, "I don't know about you, but I don't care about thousands of light years away. I care about around the corner, down the street." So we need to change our focus, but also, and this morning I talked about fraud in ufology, we also need to stand up and be counted and to point out the fraud when it occurs. Just because somebody says they believe in flying saucers doesn't mean that we need to believe everything they say. Ask for evidence. Don't settle for research by proclamation. It's inappropriate. It's unscientific. It's irrational. That's not what we need. We need carefully collected information. If you're going to talk about government documents, know something about government documents. If you're going to claim that somebody worked on saucers for the government, let's show some evidence for it. Don't settle for passing on stories. It's not good enough. The media people, some of whom are anti-UFOs, some of you may have seen it, just to give you an example, the article in Time magazine in mid-May by Leon Jaroff. He's the science editor of Time. He's also a fellow of the self-anointed Committee for the Scientific Investigation of Claims of the Paranormal, the SICCOPS. You can pronounce that any way you want. Their whole role is debunked him. They have never met a saucer they liked, if you will. And the story is just loaded with misinformation. The nasty, noisy negativists have been far more successful at passing on their baloney to the American audience than those of us who are concerned about facts and data and truth and science. We have to be aware of that. We're our own worst enemy if we repeat falsehoods. Makes it easy for these guys to attack us. Now, my own workshop is right after this at the dining hall, which is straight that way. And it'll be on crashed flying saucers, Majestic 12, the latest story. Despite what you saw in the movie, I'm the original investigator. And there are some new developments, some exciting new developments, and that'll be this afternoon. Thank you.
Thank you, Stan. You know, this issue he was speaking about this.
This is the end of side one. Turn the cassette over now to side two to continue.
Well, we'll continue that next week. That was perfect timing. My friend Stanton Friedman was just there, and we'll continue this next week. Exciting, exciting, exciting. Don't forget to check out our new website. It's going to be up momentarily.